This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on King of OX.
We're live in Dallas, Texas. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. We are at baseball's winter meetings. We'll continue to broadcast live over the next few days until things wrap up coming up on Wednesday, and then we will have our first Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day show here on KMOX and across the Cardinals Radio Network coming up on Thursday night. Myself, Mike Claiborne, Ricky Horton, we've already started collecting stuff for that show, so that's going to be coming up. Our topic of the moment is based around what John Mozeliak told us not that long ago, less than 2 hours ago. Mozeliak did confirm to the St. Louis media that's here in Dallas that indeed the team does intend to trade Nolan Arenado. Nothing is imminent, but from a standpoint of roster construction and giving young guys the opportunities that they want to give them, and also from a financial standpoint and getting payroll to where they want payroll to be, it makes a lot of sense to be able to move on from Arenado. We'll take your phone calls. We'll take your text messages. We'll take your tweets. We'll take your voice messages. Lots of ways to get in contact with us if you want to chime in on this news of the day. 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. That's how you call or text. Tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, or leave the voice message via the Odyssey app. On the text line, text message from the 618 says, "It's not surprising. I'm just so confused as to why Mo made those comments publicly." Yeah, it was kind of interesting to be in the room as those comments were being made. Because one of the things I've actually always appreciated about John Mozeliak, I probably appreciate more about Mo than a lot of people listening do. I like John a lot. I like Mo a lot. There was actually a joke today about people calling him John versus people calling him Mo. But one of the things I actually do appreciate about him is I think he is more forthright than a lot of sports executives out there. In fact, if you were listening in the last couple days when talking about Arenado, I brought up the fact that, you know, this time last year, they were very clear in the sense that they wanted to trade Tyler O'Neill. So the fact that they hadn't been as clear with the Arenado thing made me wonder, wonder if they keep him. Well, that changed today. So we're in there, and when we're talking to him, there's a lot of questions about kind of the what things are going to look like in the future. And he doesn't want to sit there and admit publicly that they are looking to trade Arenado. I don't think he went into that conversation saying that that is something that they want to get into. But at the same time, if you're having a conversation about what it's going to look like next year and how you want to give young guys the opportunity, or as they put it again, the runway, well, what he's saying and the way the roster is constructed with Nolan Arenado on it just doesn't jive. Those two things don't go together. So it kind of got to a point where he almost could not speak about what they want to do next season without just sort of giving in and admitting that they are looking to trade Arenado. So I think why I can't speak for the texter from the 618, but I think the question on why you would say that publicly, you're questioning that because you feel like maybe you lose some leverage when teams know that somebody's on the block. Well, first off, everybody knew already. Him saying it to us doesn't impact the value. There's conversations that have been taking place with other executives. Everybody knows that Arenado's on the block. So I don't think his value went down because of what was said today. That's that. Text message from the 608 says, I like trading Arenado, but don't sell him too short. And look at what the Brewers do. They lose guys and still win with young talent. It can be done. Yeah, absolutely. And if folks with the Cardinals are listening right now, I'm sure that text message in many ways makes them happy, because I think what they are trying to what they want to do moving forward is produce as much high end talent as possible out of the farm system. And we see it happen with a lot of teams in baseball. We see the Brewers win year after year after year as they let players go. What's going to happen? Are they going to go win the division again with Willie Adames gone? They're likely to trade away Devin Williams. Is it just going to be more of the same? Because that's what the Brewers have done. We see the Tampa Bay Rays do it. We see a lot of teams do it. We see the Atlanta Braves do it. The difference being the Braves lock in their guys to long-term deals. And they're kind of the only team really like that, that consistently wins at a high level, consistently produces high-end talent out of their farm system, and consistently signs those guys to contract extensions. So we can talk all we want about the Milwaukees and the Tampa Bays of the world and the great job that they do in player development. And I'm not taking anything away from them. But I think the model has to be what Atlanta does, because they produce those guys, but then they sign them to long-term deals. And that's where the Cardinals, if they get this player development thing humming along the way they'd like to, the way that Heim Bloom would like to, that's going to be the difference between the Cardinals and teams like, again, the Brewers and the Rays. That those teams have to watch players walk out the door a lot, where the Cardinals will be in a position to not feel like they have to trade guys and to have the financial resources to be able to, again, keep those guys around for a longer amount of time. Let's go to some of the tweets that have come in. Tony says, this darn team is so freaking cheap. I'm done spending on this. What an embarrassment we have become. I would disagree with Tony. And this isn't going to be a popular position, because I understand that part of what was said today was that money is part of the reason that they're looking to move on from Nolan Arenado. Okay, not to be flippant about that, but right now with where this team is at and what they're trying to accomplish, I actually don't care about the money. I don't. I don't think there's any use in caring about that. I get that the Cardinals want to reduce payroll. I understand that. That's something that they want to do this offseason. That doesn't bother. I don't care. That doesn't bother me, because what bothers me is the potential of getting out of 2025 and still not being able to give Nolan Gorman the opportunity that you need to give him to know who he is. Not having the opportunity for J.J. Weatherholt to arrive. Not being able to put Jordan Walker out in right field every single day. Like those are the things that bother me for 2025. At some point, payroll is going to matter. At some point, payroll is going to matter. At some point, the Cardinals are going to have a really good team with young players that they have developed, and there's going to be a hole in the outfield or a hole in the starting rotation, and you feel like you are a legit World Series contender with one key free agent signing, and you're going to have to go spend some money on it. At some point in time, that is going to be the case, and payroll is going to matter. And when I'll be very happy when we get to that point. I don't think we're at that point right now. I think there are other things that are more important. That's why I continue to consistently say that for the long-term health of the Cardinals, my contention is the work that Heim Bloom is doing this offseason has more importance in the work than John Mozeliak is doing. And it sounds like I'm being dismissive of what Mo's doing. I'm not. I am just really punctuating and highlighting the work that is being done by Heim Bloom, because I think that is oh so important to this team having success from a long-term standpoint, and again, being able to win at a very high level. Philip tweeted in, says, all we had to do was sign a starter to pair with Sonny Gray, and we could compete in the playoffs, but now it seems like the Cardinals are going to be in 70 to 80 win seasons. Philip, do you really think that the Cardinals were one starting pitcher away from competing in the playoffs? And what does that even mean, to compete in the playoffs? When I hear compete in the playoffs, that means have the ability to go on a deep playoff run. And by dictionary definition, and we've seen some teams get hot, I guess any team has the ability to go on a deep playoff run, but one that's built for it. How about that? We'll use that term. One that is a team that is built for a deep playoff run. I would push back, Philip, and I would say that the Cardinals were not one starter to pair with Sonny Gray away from being a team that was built for a long playoff run. And also don't forget at the same time that this was a team, when they went and got Eric Fetty, they thought that they had that guy. They thought that they had somebody who they could indeed pair with Gray at the top. And Fetty's overall numbers that he put up last season, I mean, it's something that Bernie Miklas brought up a lot this past week, both on his own videos and on the Gas House Gang, was when you look at wins above replacement, Eric Fetty was, depending on where you look, he was ranked somewhere between number 6 and number 17 of major league starters. So Fetty came in as a legit guy there at the top. The Cardinals' problems last year were offensive. Cardinals' problems the year before were a lot of stuff, but pitching was the bigger issue. I would contend that pitching was not as much of an issue this past year, especially from a bullpen standpoint. It was good, but even the starters weren't bad. I mean, they weren't great, but they weren't bad. When you look at the end of season overall numbers from a Lance Lynn and a Kyle Gibson, Kyle Gibson gave you a lot. He was probably your third starter if you would have been a playoff team. You can definitely find some numbers that make Lance Lynn's season look okay. So, yeah, I don't know. I would push back on that. I just would, that they were a starter away from getting to that point. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you get into contact with the program. You can also tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. But I'll be honest, here's what we've got coming up here for about the next half hour or so. It's going to take up a lot of the rest of the program. We're here, and we definitely want to bring to you some of the stuff that you can only get from folks who are here, and that includes the comments that were made today by Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol. He made the media rounds. He did MLB Network on TV. He did MLB Network Radio. He did. He recorded with us for Countdown to Opening Day, and then he also did a large media scrum, and he had a lot. He talked for about a half hour, 20 minutes, half hour during the media scrum. What we're going to do for our next half hour or so is play back most of what he had to say. So Oliver Marmol, his comments, how he's feeling about the season, how he's feeling about individual players, how he's feeling about the team's reset. All of that is coming up in just a moment from the Baseball Winter Meetings. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX. This is a Gray Bar Sports Open Line as we continue to come your way from Dallas, Texas, in the Baseball Winter Meetings. Again, the breaking news of today, really, is the fact the Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak, did confirm earlier today the team is looking to move on from Nolan Arenado, essentially saying that for them doing what they want to do and terms of giving players, young players, the runway and having opportunities for young players. That's an important part. But also mentioning the financial aspect of it as well, that it is an important thing to be able to move on from that salary. Not that they couldn't still potentially add some other salaries via free agency. So we'll talk more about that coming up in just a bit. But also today is the day where Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol spoke with the media. Want to spend time for the next really 25, 30 minutes or so going through what he had to say. So we're going to do this for the next couple segments, just really going through what his comments from the day. And obviously, a lot has been made of this reset that the team is going through at the moment. He was asked, what does the reset look like for him?
There's been a lot of just communication, collaboration with everything from the hiring of Surf to the coordinator position and going through some of the questionnaires and just understanding just the infrastructure for how all of this will go down. So it's been really smooth, I could say that, with Mo and Haim and just everybody involved. They've done a really nice job of including the entire staff based on their lane of expertise. So it's been good.
So if the team indeed is going through a reset, does that change the way he views the offseason?
You just continue to operate, honestly, as if they're going to be until they're not, right? And those guys are doing a really nice job of that. I mean, in speaking to Nolan, he's in a good spot, man. He's doing what he does best, and that's he's working hard to make sure he has a good season. So you just continue to operate that way. But it's been, I'll tell you this, man, this offseason has been good with, you look at the two hires in John Jay and Brownie. Those two guys have done an incredible job in the short amount of time that they've been here in their communication with our players. And you look at Brownie, spending time with Gorman in Arizona, flying down to Jupiter and spending time with Jordan over the last week, and Siani and some of those other guys, some of the adjustments with Victor Scott. He's been able to hit with Nolan Arenado as well out in Arizona. And then John Jay going down and flying down to Jupiter and spending time with Walker and Vic and those guys. Like, it's been awesome, man. It's needed. There's a lot of buy-in right now as to the direction that we're headed. Yeah.
And he made it very, very clear that no matter what else is going on with the organization, that winning is still a very important thing to do.
I will say the mindset is still winning baseball. Like, you talk to any of our players, had a recent conversation with Donovan and Wynn and those guys, like, they're hungry to win. What I'm excited about is there's going to be runway for some of these guys, and I think some of the pressure is going to be lifted off their shoulders in understanding that, man, whether this week goes well for you or it doesn't, you're going to be in there. And knowing that they have a longer runway than they're used to having, I think may lead to more production, to be quite honest with you. So I'm excited about that.
There's been so much talk about whether this is a year where they are going to be able to win, but also want to know what they have when it comes to younger players. And it, you know, both things can be correct. The team is not running away from the idea that they want to be a winning club this year, but at the same time, obviously, they want to be able to use this year to learn about many of their young players.
If I were to sit here and ask you, like, what is Herrera, I think we would all have varying responses, and that's the whole point of it. Like, at the end of this year, we'll know what we have in Herrera, in, Jordan Walker, Newport, like you go down the list and just get them at bats, let them pitch, let them play, and there's more clarity as to what we have on our hands rather than guessing. So that's a big part of kind of how we'll measure this as well.
So if winning is a part of the year, but also learning about young players is a big part of the year, what exactly does a successful year actually look like?
For me, it's still winning baseball. Like, our guys are, we're going to continue to instill that. I think that's what we've always done. You go into the year with that expectation. That part doesn't change for me. I can tell you, in speaking to our guys, it doesn't change for them. They're not going into this year just looking at developing. Sure, our approach will signal towards that more than anything, as far as when we talk about runway and letting guys play. But the mentality remains the same in wanting to compete at an extremely high level.
And to have that successful year, to have that winning year, it's very important that, again, going back to young players, that they have to be able to go out and perform. And he feels like those players do have the opportunity and that chance to perform at a high level this season.
The amount of young guys that we have, right? You look at our catching situation with Contreras moving over to playing some first and DHing. You have two young catchers. You have a combination of Burleson and Contreras at first. You have Donnie, you have Gorman, you have Nude, you have Vic, you have Siani, you have Walker, you have Mason. Like, you have a ton of young dudes, so it's the right time in allowing them to have that runway to figure out what you have, right? And then there is the other side of it, of understanding what the long term looks like based on what you have in the minor leagues and how the infrastructure is being set up in order to produce more guys that can help us at the big league level. So when you look at beefing up that staff down there and adding coordinators and just collaborating to the degree that we have, that's helpful. So I think it's the right time to do it based on a couple of different things, and those being two.
A couple more things from Oliver Marmol before we take a break. Obviously, a lot of decisions have been made recently. Chaim Bloom is going to take over as the president of baseball operations for next season. He's in a role right now where he's helping redevelop player development. He hired Rob Serfolio. That group has hired a good number of individuals here recently. So where does Marmol's voice, where does it play into all these decisions that are being made? And he said that he absolutely has had a voice in these decisions.
Yeah, so Mo and Chaim and that whole group, they've been really, inclusive. You look at, I sat in and had a lot of the one-on-one interviews for the AGM position, which was awesome to be a part of, and just understanding what Mo and Chaim value in that position and being able to throw in my two cents. But also when you look at the coordinator position, they've done a nice job of including, for the field coordinator, like me and Descalzo are looking at those. You have Stubby and Descalzo looking at the infielders. John Jay's looking at the outfield coordinator positions. You have Pogge and others looking at the catching coordinator position, and just including the big league staff and being able to have their hand in, or just to say, a seat at the table in what they value in hiring that next group that's going to be extremely valuable in developing the players that are going to help us at the big league level.
And went on to say that he's glad that the organization has given him that voice.
I don't know if it's unusual or not, because I've only done it here, but I will say it's awesome to include everybody and be able to voice kind of what you find important, and be able to hear other people's ideas and evaluation on a candidate. And then get to the bottom of who's going to be the best for this position. So I think it's being done really well right now. Yeah.
That is Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol speaking with the media earlier today. We've got a lot more from him. We'll get to that coming up in just a moment as we take a break and have more after this. This is a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's Gray Bar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. We are continuing to broadcast from Dallas, Texas, and the baseball winter meetings. Again, the breaking news of the day, Cardinals President of Baseball Operations John Mozeliak confirming earlier today that indeed the team does have Nolan Arenado on the trading block. That's not breaking news in terms of like it's shocking or surprising. We kind of knew that was the case, but now it has been confirmed by John Mozeliak. Let's go back through. We're continuing to go through what Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol had to say today, and we got through a few things in our last segment. Want to continue on, and we get into some more individual conversations, like conversations about individual players. Let's start with Nolan Gorman and where Marmol feels like Gorman is at here at the moment.
I think he's in a really good spot. Groundy was able to spend some time with him and just candidly speak to what he feels hasn't gone well. And here's what I like about Brownie. He's able to speak different languages in the sense of, like, if it's someone's highly in a little bit, like, he's able to speak to that. If someone is more off of feel, he's able to speak to kind of the swing and has a really, really good understanding of the swing. If someone wants to just talk biomechanics, like, he can do that. And he's been able to relate to a variety of our guys based on how they like taking in information. So he's done a really nice job with Gorman and understanding, like, his gather leads to a lot of his success or lack of success. And being able to speak to that has been amazing. So there's been a lot of buy-in from the Walkers and the Gormans with what they're working on right now, and that leads to overall confidence. I am more excited than ever in what we'll see out of our young guys based on that. Yeah.
You know, Gorman is very much connected to the Nolan Arenado situation. If Arenado gets traded, you would think that likely Gorman becomes just about the everyday third baseman. If that were to not happen, well, that again is kind of why John Mozeliak spoke about the fact that the roster doesn't completely work without that happening. But Marmol said they're not totally sure yet where Gorman is going to play defensively.
It is, right? Like, it's hard to speak to that definitively based on, like, we don't know what a roster is going to look like here in a few weeks, right? So, like, once we get past some of this, then we'll have a better understanding. But right now, he's ready to do whatever he's asked to do, and he's in a good headspace to be able to do that. Yeah.
I heard he can play for him.
He feels comfortable at multiple positions, third, second. He came up as a third baseman. He's obviously done a nice job at second, turns a good double play. So, yeah, he'll do whatever he's asked to do, and he's in a good spot mentally to be able to do it.
You know, a term that we keep hearing over and over and over is runway, runway, runway. They want to give runway to young players. When we talk about the runway, we're talking a lot about Gorman. We're talking a lot about Jordan Walker. So what does runway look like when it comes to pitchers? How does that actually work itself out?
It allows for a little bit more flexibility in a pitcher working on something and not having to, like, Fernandez did a good job of this last year, right? He was in a tough spot, right? We couldn't set him down. Like, he was a Rule 5 guy, and he was having to make adjustments in the moment in high leverage situations, and he did a really nice job of that. That's not the norm. Some guys aren't able to do that. He did it really well. But when you look at what Dusty and his staff has done with our pitching, like, I feel like there's been a lot of adjustments on the fly at the highest level that have gone our way. You look at Libby, you look at what some of those guys have done. It's been productive. We'll continue to do that. Yeah.
And when you talk about pitchers and some of the young guys who might be part of that group stepping forward, Marmol specifically mentioned a couple guys in Chris Roycroft and Riley O'Brien.
And you have some high-end arms in both of those guys with some real stuff. We're going to have to work through some highs and some lows. We're okay with that. But what could come out of a Roycroft reaching his potential and a Riley, it's a big deal. It really is.
There used to be kind of an adage in baseball that when guys got to the big leagues, they were basically fully developed. And that's just not the case anymore. Development doesn't stop because you've reached the big leagues, and that has never been more true with the Cardinals than the situation they have right now. And Marmol talked about that and talked about the development that still has to happen as these young guys are reaching the big leagues.
That's changed. I mean, guys are getting up there younger and younger, and there's a ton of development. You look at our staff, and I give our staff a lot of credit, man. It's a lot of guys that spent time in the minor leagues that value development. It's in their DNA to do exactly that, to teach. You look at Pop, you look at Stubby. There's a track record for doing those things. So development takes place at the big league level. And there's going to be a lot of it moving forward.
You know, we spend so much time talking about young guys, but there are still some veterans on the team. Wilson Contreras, he was one player that made it very clear to the Cardinals he wanted to stick around. He is embracing the opportunity of going and playing first base. He thinks it gives him an opportunity to stay healthy. And Marmol is clearly very pleased that Contreras did want to stick around.
They were awesome. They really were, man. It was almost like a little bit of a relief. At the end of the day, Wilson wants to be healthy, and he wants to be in the lineup as much as possible. And if that means not catching because he's exposed to potential more injury and his legs, and as he continues year in, year out, then he's on board. And he was excited about it. His exact words were, at one point, I want to win a gold glove at first base, and I'm going to work extremely hard to get as close to that as possible. But he's excited about being in the lineup every day, and that's what we want for him as well. It's a combination of working with Stubby, and he's going to work with Jose Oquendo starting here in a week or two down in Jupiter. And listen, man, I love Hosey. He does an incredible job teaching and progressing somebody that hasn't played a position to feeling comfortable in a game. He does that as good as anybody. So I think we have the right people in place to get Wilson comfortable.
You know, this time last year, we were talking so much about how the team needed more experience and more leadership inside of the clubhouse, and they went and got that with Matt Carpenter and Sonny Gray and Kyle Gibson and Lance Lynn. And outside of Gray, those guys are gone. Contreras is a guy, a veteran guy who's still there as well. But Marmol really feels like, even though that maybe they're moving to a new stage, those guys being in the clubhouse last year had an impact on younger players who are still with the Cardinals.
Yeah, a good example would be Palante and Libby. Like, man, they gleaned so much from a Lance Lynn and a Gibby and a Sonny. Like, you needed that. And now he's in a much better place mentally, just kind of how to handle failure. He's in a better spot to attack this year, even with those guys not in the clubhouse. So there's benefits of that for sure.
And Marmol went on to say that absolutely having that experience in the clubhouse does still matter.
When you can sense the transition years of needing that in order to culturally instill certain things and be able to reiterate certain messages coming from the players and not just the staff, last year was an important year to bridge that for some of those guys. And they did an incredible job of doing exactly that. Gibby, Lance, you go down the list, were phenomenal with that. Carpenter did a really nice job with that. And it allows exposure to what that looks like in order for them to now carry it on and do it in their own way, right? Like, Mason's his own guy. Like, Jordan's his own guy. Like, Sonny does things a certain way. So they'll add their twist to what it's supposed to look like, but bridging that last year was important.
That is Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol. All of what he had to say today in meeting with the media here at baseball's winter meetings. We will take a break. We'll come back and we'll wrap up this edition of the program. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Starting to wrap things up on this edition of a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We certainly appreciate you being tuned in with us as we continue to broadcast from Dallas as the baseball winter meetings are continuing on. Again, the news today, Cardinals President of Baseball Operations John Mozeliak did confirm the team is looking to move on from Nolan Arenado, looking to trade him from a standpoint of roster construction. If they want this to be a year where they give opportunities to young players and give young players that runway we talk about so often, that it would help to have third base open. Clearly, that moves Nolan Gorman over to third. Brendan Donovan can play some second. At some point, J.J. Weatherholt can arrive. There's just a lot of things going on where the team would benefit. And they are still looking to reduce payroll, even with where they're at. And I do think from a payroll standpoint, with the TV deal that got done, even with them losing money on it, they did not lose as much as other teams lost. And sports gambling coming in, that's going to be a revenue stream that's going to help. They're in a better spot than a lot of teams are, but that is it's still something that they are trying to work on. So that's kind of what we've been talking about a lot today, just the fact that Nolan Arenado, it looks like they're going to move on from him. It feels like there's some things that have to happen. I would be shocked. I'd be very shocked if a move does get done prior to the baseball winter meetings coming to an end. There's just not a whole lot of time for that to happen. Mo made a joke about the fact that he was 48 hours away from being back home. And even with the Juan Soto news, it does feel like there's some other things that have to probably play themselves out before Nolan Arenado gets moved. I didn't talk about this too much earlier, but also made it very clear that there continues to be a good amount of communication that is going on between the Cardinals and Arenado. They're trying to be very respectful of him and letting him know where everything sits. And you also have to do that because, don't forget, Arenado, he's got the no trade clause. So you could go work out a deal, and then all of a sudden he says, well, I don't want to go there, and then all the work was done for naught. So that appears to be the biggest thing that's going on right now. I don't know if the Cardinals are going to pull something off. I continue to sit here and think that if they make a move that includes the Major League roster, then in all likelihood, it's going to be Steven Matz that gets moved. In fact, there was even a joke today where Mo was doing some media on MLB Network and MLB Network Radio, and Ollie was doing his media stuff today as well. And there was a lot of joke about, well, who's the fifth starter going to be? Well, right now there's more than five starters, so it almost feels like there's this assumption that somebody is going to get moved. Although I should say that when Mo was talking about the rotation, he did mention Steven Matz's name. Not that that really means all that much, but did mention Matz's name. It seems likely that Matz is going to be the guy who they move on from, but that has not happened yet. It's not official, and we'll just have to wait and see if that's going to play out. All right, on the way next, we do have the Gas House Gang. What we recorded earlier today, it was a baseball Monday, a Cardinal Monday, so that means all four of us, Kevin Wheeler, Tom Ackerman, Bernie Miklas, and myself, recorded. Just keep in mind, that's recorded at 12 noon, so any conversation about Nolan Arenado, we had that conversation prior to Mo saying that indeed they are looking to move on from him, but still a lot of good baseball talk that we had earlier today. So don't go anywhere, the Gas House Gang, that is on the way next. Appreciate you being tuned in. We'll be back tomorrow all day long from baseball's winter meetings. And if we have any breaking news, we will bring it your way. I'll be doing all the normal hits, Sports Open Line, Gas House Gang, everything. KMOX is the only radio station in St. Louis that has boots on the ground in Dallas. And that's three of us, myself, Mike Claiborne, and Ricky Horton. All three of us are here. And we will be back with you coming up tomorrow. So thanks so much for being tuned in. It's been a Graybar Sports Open Line from Dallas and at baseball's winter meetings right here on KMOX.